Now, a note from our sponsor. I've always wanted to say that like a real broadcaster. You've heard me talk about our friends at Joseph's Finest Meats, how I drive or how Betty drives across Indiana and Chicago and Illinois to get their finest sausage. They're at 7101 West Addison, Chicago, home of USDA prime aged beef, real aged beef, homemade sausage, and only the finest meats, plus imported Italian delicacies like one thing that you can't live without, provolone, the sharp kind. You have to have good provolone to have a sandwich. And now I hear about something else at Joseph's Finest Meats, the barbecue sauce. Jeff Carlin tells me the barbecue sauce is simply outstanding. Now I've got another reason to go there. Do yourselves a favor. Make your way over to the Dunning neighborhood over on Addison and Nordica, just two or three blocks east of Harlem Avenue on the northwest side of Chicago, and have yourself a truly great shopping butcher experience. I should know. I grew up in a butcher shop just like this. I worked for a man who was just like Joe. And tell the brothers Ben and Sal that John says hi. Joseph's Finest Meats, a family tradition since 1977, and a proud sponsor of John Cass News and the Chicago Way podcast. I want you to think of a mythological figure, the intersectional mayor. The mayor of Chicago, as Lori Lightfoot was when she was playing her progressive games and waving that LGBT flag of hers and pushing on all cylinders, saying F you to Trump and everything. You remember those days? And all of a sudden, she was like a child on a log dancing in the Chicago River, log dancing. Her tiny little feet going faster and faster, round and round the log, pop, 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 trying to stay up out of the toxic fumes of the river. And she can't keep herself standing. She can't keep herself upright. She's going to fall in. And then who comes by to give her a good push but the hard left that she thought she was part of? And then they come with Black Lives Matter protests and riots in Chicago. And guess what? The poor woman, she's a politician. She's a hard ass, or thinks she is. She was destroyed by the left. And we're seeing the same thing now to the Democratic Party in general, all over. You've got Mondami. You've got the idiots in Texas running away, trying to demand that race be used in the argument for their power, but you can't use it against them. And so they're running away out of Texas and running to Illinois, into the bosom of J.B. Pritzker himself. And to all that, I say, there was a column just the other day by Steve Huntley of John Cass News, and he called it Your Lying Eyes. It was a brilliant column picked up by not only Real Clear Politics, the editors of Real Clear, and the editors also of the conservative Powerline blog picked it up. Your Lying Eyes by Steve Huntley. It ran on August 3rd. Don't believe your lying eyes. That pretty much sums up the progressive approach to reality when someone points out an inconvenient truth. One of the most glaring examples came, you recall, courtesy of CNN, the infamous video of a correspondent standing in front of an arson fire, reporting on those fiery but mostly peaceful protests during the 2020 George Floyd riots. I called them Black Lives Matter riots, but same thing, you saw it. Our guest today is a Democrat, but he's striking a blow for independence before that happens to his party, because it's disaster what's coming for them. Our guest is Alderman Brendan Riley of the north side of Chicago, who's standing up against Toni Preckwinkle, Boss Toni, the woman who is most responsible for the state of decay in Chicago and Cook County. She's the one who promoted Brandon Johnson, Mayor Panic Attacks. She promoted him, hired him, brought him into government. He doesn't know what he's doing. And you could see that every day. And then she also promoted and protected Timothy Evans, chief judge of the Circuit Court of Cook County, the one who thinks that if you're a gangbanger and kill an 8-year-old baby on the streets of Chicago, it's really not your fault because your brain, you know, you're only 25 and your brain hasn't formed. Your brain hasn't fully formed. Right, Tim. And you've got people like her ally, Stacey Davis Gates, who doesn't pay her own water bill, but she wants you to pay more taxes. How does that work? And sitting with me always, Jeff Carlin, WGN Radio, executive producer, future physics teacher, friend of cats, baker of pies, married to the lovely Christine. And me, I'm John Cass, husband, father, Greek Orthodox Christian, columnist now for JohnCassNews.com, where you always get a good cup of common sense. And for only $50 a year, I'm keeping the prices the same as they were last year. You could me 2 or 3 times a week, plus a podcast, plus great guest columns by people like Dan Proft and Steve Huntley and Jimmy Benakis and Pat Hickey and Terry Sullivan and Mike Houlihan and more, David Bittinger. There are many great writers here, and they all want to write for you. And if you want to join them, contact me at john@johncassnews.com. And where are you with nominating petitions out on the streets this week? It's a race. It's not officially a race yet, but it will soon be official. As Stacey Davis Gates doesn't pay her water bill, as Brendan Johnson has more panic attacks, as the crime continues in Chicago, as Tony Preckwinkle sits quietly in the middle of her web, rubbing her long, thin fingers against each other. Where are you as a new party is being born? The closet moderates? Is that what they call themselves? Or the commonsensicals? The Democrats? Want to be Democrats again? As the communists make their final push to complete control? You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago Way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way. That's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
As promised, Brendan Riley, Northside Alderman of Chicago downtown. And I've got one thing to say before we begin. It's that I hate loose ends. You know what loose ends are? They're like, you know, you didn't tie your shoes and you step on one, then you fall flat on your face. But that's one loose end. Another one involves not Soros, but his agent in Chicago. I'm talking about Tony Preckwinkle, chairman of the Cook County Democratic Party, who put her protege, Kim Fox, into the state's attorney's office and thereby, in my view, destroyed Chicago and destroyed it for decades to come. Now we come to another case of loose ends. Brendan Riley, he is an excellent politician, but I don't know if he wants to take this next step and go into the valley of, I don't know, what is it? What's that creature, Brendan, where you look at her and you turn to stone when you see her?
Medusa?
That's Medusa. Yeah.
Medusa, right? is that Tony Preckwinkle politically? And Brendan, are you going to run? So maybe that John Cass can come back to Chicagoland.
Well, I am going to be making an announcement about my future political plans in the next couple of weeks. But I can tell you this, starting on August 5th, voters throughout Cook County will see candidate petitions on the street for all these offices that are going to be up for election in 2026, the U.S. Senate race, the Cook County Board President race, and others. And my name will be on a set of petitions for Cook County Board President.
Whoa.
And so the petitions will be on the street, but I will be making an announcement about my plans in the near future. But certainly to keep options open, those petitions will be hitting the street on August 5th.
Why the Cook County Board President's race rather than, say, the United States Senate, which I think you also be qualified to run for?
Oh, well, thank you, John. You know, I've been saying this for a long time. I believe in local government and just how critically important it is. Obviously, national elections are the ones that get most of the attention, you know, the races for president, U.S. Senate. And those are very important offices, don't get me wrong. But the local governmental offices at the county and at the city are the ones that touch voters and taxpayers literally every single day. The impacts of local policy decisions are felt almost immediately, whereas national policy tends to take longer. And so, you know, for those folks who aren't happy with the direction that their community is headed, the greatest way to course correct is to participate in local elections. And unfortunately, voters in Cook County haven't been doing that as much as they need to. Our voter participation is pathetic. And sadly, that is how we end up with failed leadership like Alderman Brandon Johnson, like former state's attorney Kim Fox, like Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle, who has actually been, I would argue, the architect of the extreme left takeover of the Democratic Party here in Cook County. And I am a proud Democrat, but I'm also a centrist. And I believe that I occupy a space in politics that most voters do too. I don't know a lot of folks who consider themselves to be an extreme lefty or an extreme righty. Most people live somewhere in the middle. And when I look at local government, I'm frustrated. It's become a platform for ideology and for policy announcements and for, you know, one's prescription for peace in the Middle East, when in fact your job is to keep communities safe and taxes under control and schools productive and educating our kids and the trains running on time. Those are the things that matter to voters the most day to day. They don't really care about the mayor of Chicago's views on the war in Palestine. They care more about being able to get on a CTA train and not get high on their way to work from secondhand smoke or mugged on the platform, right? For me, you know, I look at local government as where government truly, you know, rubber meets the road. And I think it's time for us to get back to common sense. Let's just make government work again. I think that's what most people want to see.
You know, it's just so confusing now, Brendan, Alderman Riley, because if you wanted to smoke, say, a few weeks ago, you just go to, and I don't smoke anymore, but you'd go to a bar like Richard's on Grand Avenue.
Don't know what you're talking about, John.
Yeah, and there's a little guy behind that hangs around there. And if he wants to smoke, no one's going to tell him no. Not any cop, no committeeman, no alderman, no mayor. You know, they're not going to say, hey, Albie, put the cigarette out. Yeah. It won't happen. And the same thing. But now you can do it. You can get a contact high on the blue line.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is going on?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we're seeing, you know, local government failing at nearly everything it does. And frankly, it's a lack of leadership, you know, and it's frustrating as a lawmaker. You know, I've written a lot of the code, the ordinances that are in the city code today. And we've seen, you know, enforcement drop off a cliff, certainly under Lori Lightfoot, but especially under Mayor Johnson. And so people are frustrated. You know, people are paying a lot of taxes. And, you know, if they ever get their tax bill this year, thanks to the failed technology at Cook County, they're going to get a higher tax bill. And people scratch their heads and say, you know, I'm paying all these taxes. And in some cases, people are paying 10% of the value of their home every year in property taxes. If you live in the South suburbs, that's your tax bill. And what do you have to show for it? You've got lousy schools. You've got deteriorating neighborhoods. And you've got public transit systems that are failing. And so that's a real problem. People don't see any value for what they're paying into the government. And the city and the county need to do a much, much better job of providing services. And that means a complete and total overhaul of government. You know, the government that we have today was put together. Our bureaucracy was assembled almost 100 years ago. And it doesn't look much different than 100 years ago. Yet technology has changed. Our needs have changed. And frankly, we're carrying far too much weight in local government, in the bureaucracy. And I think we need to take a really good hard look at that and take out our scalpels and shave these budgets down, because we're going to continue to face massive structural deficits at the county and at the city until we right-size government to one that the taxpayers can afford. So it's very frustrating for the people I run into day in and day out on the street. No one's understanding why they're paying so much in taxes and where it's going. And so we're going to need to do a real audit of our local governments. And frankly, we have no choice, because we're looking at massive deficits heading into the fall budget season.
Yeah. And you kind of hit it there. I mean, the tax bills we're going to see now are going up, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, we've just heard in the past week or so, you know, Mayor Johnson come out and finally say, well, yeah, probably going to have to raise tax and property tax, real quietly under his breath. You know, meanwhile, in between talking about, you know, foreign affairs and national news, what do you say to people? I mean, what do we say to people who are like, well, I'm just going to leave? I mean, those people are going to go. And how do you stem that? Because that's going to happen first before we can get to this bureaucracy, try to, you know, clean up process that you want to get into.
Well, I've been telling people to take a breath and have patience with us for two more years. We need to ride out this this storm. And this storm is the disaster at Cook County and the disaster at the city of Chicago and their leadership. And voters have an opportunity to make a change. And it's my hope that in 2026 for the countywide elections, and then in 2027, right after that for the mayor's election, voters wake up and exercise that right to vote. We ended up with Brandon Johnson and frankly, County Board President Preckwinkle, because voters, moderate voters, decided to take a break or gave up on the Democratic Party and chose not to vote in the primary for other reasons. We need these people to come back into the fold, because it's without their help, I think people will start leaving Cook County and the city. We need to change leadership here. This is time for a course correction. Toni Preckwinkle and her allies are running our city into the ground. And I look at Toni Preckwinkle as the architect. She's the one who elevated Kim Fox from chief of staff in her office at Cook County to be possibly the worst state's attorney in the history of Cook County. And likewise, Toni Preckwinkle, if we all remember, elevated Brandon Johnson from political obscurity by putting him on the Cook County board, where he served for about a minute and did literally nothing, and then use that as his launch pad to run for mayor. And he was elected because a lot of centrist voters did not show up on that election day. And that's how Paul Vallis lost that race. So we need folks to have learned from their mistakes. Everyone has complained. I run into people, I'm not kidding you, every single week who say, what do we do about getting rid of this mayor? We can't survive another another month with him. Can we recall the mayor? And I have to tell them, I'm sad to say, no, we can't. We don't have that mechanism. But you've got a great opportunity to make a change in the 2027 election. So if you're upset about things, you got to get out and vote. That is the most important thing we can do to save our city and our county in the next 2 years. And I can tell you, the business community has woken up. They learned their lesson from the last mayor's race. They assumed that Paul Vallis, because he was supremely qualified and certainly had a much better resume for the job than the current mayor does, they were convinced that this was in the bag. And unfortunately, they took their foot off the gas. They're not going to make that mistake again. And that's important, because they are the counterpoint to some of the big public employee unions that spend millions of dollars in these races to tip the balance. And so I'm happy to report that we're seeing people now understanding they have a civic duty to step up, because we are facing a real crisis. So it's my hope that people will have learned from the mistakes of the past and show up and vote.
One thing you kind of hit this too, the level of bureaucracy. And this is something I think, you know, the math is so simple here, and it should be something that you could take to voters, and especially moderate voters, to just, you know, clobber them over the head with and say, listen, you know, Illinois Policy put this together. The top five nations for local governments are Illinois, number one, almost 7,000 units of government.
It's insane.
That's it's insane. And, you know, you look at it like the most populous states, right? California, obviously the most populous state. If you break it down per person, per populace breakdown by local government over person, 11.8 Illinois, 54, a factor of almost five. And you're talking, why? What are we getting for it? Absolutely nothing. And this is the thing, like you said, this government, and we've talked about it, it's the Chicago way, mm-hmm. right? Illinois has been built on the idea that how you doing, what can I do for you, yeah. and helping, you know, helping my friend and making the most out of it and making it a, you know, a suckling pig for people to make money off the government. Who would you see, let's say, you know, county board president, but is your role, you get in that position, who do you think is going to be helping you build a coalition to try to get people to realize we need to fix the government top to bottom in the state?
Well, look, I mean, you talked about all these various taxing bodies we have in local forms of government. I mean, mm-hmm. mosquito abatement districts, you know, mm-hmm. tuberculosis zones. I mean, these things are ridiculous. They were created to house patronage jobs for the Democratic right. machine. And, you know, we have a new machine boss, and her name is Toni Preckwinkle. And she certainly makes use of patronage, but a lot of those things need to be collapsed and eliminated. We don't need these many governments in Illinois. It's ridiculous. As far as a coalition, look, there are a lot of elected officials out there that frankly fall in line under the extreme left leadership of Preckwinkle and Johnson, because that's what they've been conditioned to do. You know, oh, well, so-and-so is the big boss. I have to pledge fealty and go along with their program, even if I disagree with it. And I think simply removing those two characters, Brandon Johnson and Toni Preckwinkle, from the equation will free up some of these politicians to actually go back to their mores, their ethos. A lot of these folks, I think, are closet moderates, and they just don't want to admit it because there's this ridiculous purity test that is administered now at the Democratic Party here in Cook County. If you aren't an extreme left winger, they're not interested in hearing from you. And so I think that is an immediate change that you will see, is that you'll see a number of elected officials who've been voting far to the left to get along will now be free to get back to their actual moral compass and be more moderate. Likewise, we need to use the next two elections, you know, 2026 and 2027, to replace many of these far, far left democratic socialists who are ruining government. And I can tell you a massive recruitment effort is already underway for candidates for school board, for Chicago aldermen, and for Cook County board seats. That is critical. And there are a lot of citizens, well-qualified people, raising their hands saying, I am willing to serve. So those things need to happen for us to get this thing back on track.
Yeah, it has to build up. Yeah. You have to build it up amongst the people.
You do. Right? And by having some moderates in these big positions, like county president, like mayor, you can actually groom, you know, a bench. You know, we need to have folks in waiting being developed to take on leadership positions too. And that is a role I think that new leadership can take on in helping reform the party and bring it back to the middle based on common sense and making government work.
But she will play the race card against you. Well, you know this.
Yeah. And you know, that's a lazy way to try and distract people from your lousy record.
Here's one issue that you'll have before you, if you do decide to run, which I hope you do. The relationship between the federal government in immigration and customs enforcement agents and the Chicago Police Department. I remember a case, and perhaps you do too, of a man in Chicago named William Dennis McGann. He was 66 years old. And he was dragged to death on Logan Boulevard by a drunken driver. His name was Saul Chavez. He was an illegal immigrant. And Tony Preckwinkle and Chuy Garcia and the rest of the, what can I say, the Marxists on the Cook County Board prevented ICE from being a being told where he was or that they had him. And then when he was when he bailed out, I don't know how that happened, but you need a judge to do that. He left and fled the country, went to Mexico. That story is repeated again and again and again. So, and then if you dare stand up for law and order, you will either be Sorosed or be hit by the race card. I mean, it's serious business that you're getting into, Brendan. And it's not for the weak of heart. So have you considered that?
Yeah, I have. And again, if I do choose to run for county president, I think voters are going to have a very clear choice. I don't have a lot in common with Tony Preckwinkle. Regarding cooperation with ICE.
You do have one thing in common. Maybe your shoe size is about the
same. Maybe, but I'm not. But I'm not going to win a slam dunk contest, I don't think. But I'll tell you what. You know, when it comes to ICE, there are a whole lot of Democrats, good Democrats, loyal Democrats, who think the city's policies of not cooperating with ICE when it comes to, I want to say this very clearly, violent criminals who are here illegally. A lot of us on the city council disagree with that and have actually tried to force votes to take this question directly to the people of Cook County and the city. Do you think we should be continuing to refuse to cooperate with ICE when we have detained illegal immigrants who are accused of very serious violent crimes? Yes. And many of us think that we should be cooperating with them. You know, I have a tremendous amount of empathy and sympathy for people who are fleeing horrible situations in third world countries to come and find, you know, the American dream here. And some are so desperate, they bypass our immigration laws, which, by the way, needs some incredible updating. And for those families that come here, while we certainly want them to do it the right way, we understand that certain circumstances don't allow for that. But we're talking about something very different here. These are people oftentimes coming to America that already have lengthy criminal records, and they're bringing that violence upon our communities. And while just like we don't want citizens out on the street who are out committing violent crime and murdering people, we don't want illegal immigrants being made comfortable here in America when they do the same. And so we have tried at the city council several times now to put a ballot initiative on the ballot before the voters for them to opine on this. And we believe that the majority of voters agree with us that when it comes to violent, dangerous criminals who are migrants, they need to go. They need to go back to where they came from. And to do that, that requires cooperating with federal agents.
It sounds like you're started a new political party here called the Closet Democrats, you know, Closet Moderates, rather. You know, you've got the backing, it seems, of the logic, right? People should be falling in line for this. But as John said, you're going to run into a buzzsaw that is, you know, CTU-controlled, that phalanx of people on the ground, grassroots. I'm putting that in air quotes because it's not really grassroots. I mean, how do you get over that? I mean, how do you counter that machine that is so, I mean, they took Paul Vallis, you know, I get it, a white guy, an older white guy who has some conservative thoughts about spending dollars, and they turned him into a Nazi, you know, somehow.
Yeah.
How do you counter that?
Well, and that's, you know, that's the baloney trope that they push around. If you don't pass the extreme left litmus test, you're therefore a MAGA. And, you know, MAGA is a four-letter word in the city of Chicago with voters. You know, this is a very Democratic town. And unfortunately, Brandon Johnson's campaign and the teachers union were successful in painting Paul Vallis that way. And we saw what happened. I'm less concerned about that. I have worked for the Democratic Party for the better part of my life. And I am a well-credentialed Democrat. And I know many others who are elected in Cook County who share my ideology. And I think at the end of the day, voters are smart enough to look through that smokescreen and look at my resume and my background to know that there's no way in heck I'm a closet MAGA. I'm a Democrat who thinks that the party has lost its way. And I think a lot of rank and file Democrats agree with me. What we've seen the Democratic Socialists, who are a small but very vocal group of politicians, they have ruined the Democratic Party. And it's incumbent upon moderates like me to step up when called to correct that. I can't tell you how many of my colleagues in the city council are beyond frustrated with the Democratic Socialists who have kind of hijacked the agenda and are driving the city into a ditch. The Democratic Socialist experiment here has failed, and it's failed miserably. And I pray for the voters in New York City who have to make a really big decision this fall about their mayor, that they don't fall into the same trap that we did here. This Mamdani guy sure smells a lot like Brandon Johnson. And yeah. God help those folks in New York, because we've learned our lesson, I hope. The Democratic Socialists are really, really good at complaining about things and pointing fingers and making accusations. But when it comes time to actually do the work and govern, they're completely and totally incompetent. And so this has failed, and voters need to step up and reject this leadership, flush the toilet, and let us start over.
One thing government has to do is maintain order on the street. Yep. You don't have to do anything, but I mean, I think the government, it's incumbent on government to make public transportation safe for the people who use it. Most who use it now are poor, who don't have any other way to get to work, and they're subject to terrible barbarism in the cars. And it's just like if you didn't have to, you wouldn't send your mom on the train to take the L.
No, you wouldn't.
So how do you approach the judiciary when we have Tim Evans, chief judge? I don't even know if he's running anymore. But I remember Timmy when he was back getting personal injury cases from Eddie Verdoliak in the city council. Okay. And yeah, wearing a Armani suit that he liked. I wore an Armani suit. He's like, good suit, man. And the next day I see him in the suit. He went to Bigsby's and got the suit. I'm like, Tim, that's awesome. But still standing up as he did at the Union League Club to tell us that the murderer of an 8-year-old girl in Little Village, who was holding her mom's hand, and when she was shot by in a gangbang crossfire. And Tim is up there telling us that the shooter's brain is not fully formed. And so I don't know if we can punish him too much because, you know, he doesn't know right from wrong, the killer.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that mindset?
Well, you need a change in leadership at the circuit court. That's for sure. You know, Tim Evans is a very nice guy and a real gentleman, but he should not be running our court system, you know, and unfortunately, and it's gotten worse, under his leadership. Unfortunately, you know, the judges that sit on the bench, they report to him and he directs them on how to handle these proceedings. And that is why we have a revolving door at the Cook County Jail.
Exactly.
We are seeing, I mean, the police, God bless them, are doing the hard work, and they're tracking these guys down and they're apprehending them. They do all this paperwork, and only for it to be thrown out the window, either previously by Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox or by these ultra left judges on the bench that have been placed there by Tim Evans and have been given specific direction to administer as many slaps on the wrist as they can get away with. And, you know, they are not thinking about the victims nearly enough. Everyone forgets there are victims to these crimes. You know, everyone focuses on the alleged criminal. Right. But, you know, what about the black and brown families that are being victimized day in and day out while they're trying to eke out a living? You know, that is lost in the conversation. And thank God we have Cook County State's Attorney Eileen O'Neill Burke to help correct the course. But to your point, if she's going to be walking into these courtrooms that are presided over by these judges that are under these extreme left-wing directions, we know what's going to happen. The state's attorney is not going to be able to put these folks in prison where they belong. And so, you know, one of the things that the county president does have a lot of power over is the power of the purse. And through the budget process, the county president can impose his or her will on the offices of sheriff, state's attorney, and the circuit courts. And that's, I think, where the focus needs to be. We need to have a real serious conversation with whomever's running the courts next time to end these ridiculous policies. That is not to say that we should be putting lots and lots of nonviolent offenders into our jail. I don't think anyone's arguing for that. It doesn't accomplish much. It costs taxpayers a lot of money. But thanks to Kim Fox, there's a tremendous amount of capacity in that jail because we have repeat violent offenders walking our streets with ankle bracelets that don't work and that no one is monitoring. And so that has to change immediately. And I think that would have a dramatic impact on our crime stats. You know, these folks that are released as soon as they are caught by the police, then oftentimes go right back out on the street and commit that crime again and again and again until they're caught and then released again. That is a vicious cycle that is producing far too many victims. And I have to say, the vast majority of our victims come from underserved communities, yes, and they tend to be people of color. And so that's the great irony. Some of these super liberal judges think they're protecting people of color. No, they're actually doing a lot more harm to these communities than good. And I think that needs to be a big conversation. No one, not nearly enough people vote on their judges. And I'm not even sure why we vote on judges. But we end up with a lot of lousy judges that are endorsed by Tony Preckwinkle's Democratic Party. And so if you want to stop the pipeline, you got to take a look at removing her from leadership at Cook County as the president, because once she's gone there, she will also have to relinquish control of the Democratic Party that she also controls.
I've always thrown this out there, and maybe you can explain to me why we don't do this already. But if I'm someone in the city and I commit a crime, I'm charged, I'm in direction with police, and they find a gun, why is that not an automatic sentence? Like, yep, that's 1 year off the street. Sorry, you know, but because I feel like that would deter one, a lot of violence that happens, a lot of stick ups that people have. And two, would it start to chip away at these repeat offenders and keep them out of society longer and longer? But for some reason, you know, it never happens. It's like, oh, well, he had a gun and then he pleads down to, you know, jaywalking or wherever the hell it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a big part of the problem is, you know, everyone says, oh, we need stronger gun laws. How about we enforce the ones we've got? Right. And there's very little of that going on right now. And I agree with you. If you're stopped committing one crime and during the stop, they recover an illegal weapon, that needs to be the charge, unlawful use of a weapon or possessing an unregistered firearm, et cetera. And that does carry a pretty stiff penalty. And we need to have deterrence here, right? Deterrence has gone out the window. People aren't afraid of consequences here, and it shows. And that is unique to Cook County, I believe. And so we do need to get a lot tougher on that. And, our brand new state's attorney has an incredible tough job ahead of her because her office was hollowed out under Kim Fox and, frankly, defunded by Tony Preckwinkle in the budget process, and having scared off hundreds of great state attorneys, Kim Fox really did a disservice to this office. Now, poor Eileen O'Neill Burke, with a minuscule budget, a fraction of what it used to be, has the difficult task of hiring seasoned, experienced lawyers to come back and help her prosecute these crimes. These are the things that we need to change in the next year so that our state's attorney can be effective. And she can get these folks off the streets and frankly, into the system. There's a lot of work to be done here, folks. But, you wonder why people don't feel good about how things are going. Well, here it is. I mean, you guys have laid it out here today. Nothing is working properly in any level of government here locally. And that's the thing we need to go and change in the elections in March of 2026 and February of 2027.
And if not, what happens if that doesn't succeed? If if those changes aren't made.
Yeah, well, if those changes aren't made, we are in very, very dire circumstances. And I would expect that there will be an outflow of population, substantial, and not just people, but also businesses and jobs and investment. And that is what becomes, you know, that's kind of the canary in the coal mine for landing like Detroit did in the 1980s, you know, a hollowed out city.
Or Cincinnati right now. What right. about Cincinnati this moment?
That's it. You know, Chicago, you know, we were able to survive the rust belting of the Midwest right. because we're such an incredible city with really great bones and a diverse economy. But that's not a guarantee. Enough years of these failed policies and this socialist agenda will not make us as resilient as a city, and people will eventually give up. And so really, I think a tremendous amount is at stake in these next two elections, and people need to really take this seriously.
I agree. And one thing I do understand is that you can't fight every battle, right?
Yeah.
You got to pick your battles.
That's right.
But Preckwinkle has been very successful in getting the media of Chicago not to concentrate on crime or cover crime from the quote social, and I'm using scare quotes here, social justice warrior perspective.
That
leads to Saul Chavez killing Dennis McCann and all that other stuff that we see in
CWB.
CWB, my favorite website.
Yeah, they do an excellent job of reporting the news that no one else really bothers to. And to your point, you know, one thing that Toni Preckwinkle has done well, I wouldn't argue she's done a lot well, but one thing she has done well is ducking the media. You know, there was a time, you guys remember when George Gunn was the county president or Phelan, they were front page news nearly every day, right? They were part of the political conversation on the regular. Under President Preckwinkle, you don't hear a whole lot about Cook County. She's done a good job staying below the radar and allowing her mentee, her acolyte, Brandon Johnson, to take all the arrows. And they're well-deserved because he's been a failure. But because he looks so bad, she's able to hide behind his failures.
Yeah.
And she's been able to get away with that because, frankly, she has not had a competitive race for that office, really, since she got there. Her only real competitive race was the one where the former Mayor Lightfoot absolutely creamed her, literally winning every single ward in the city in 175-25. But other than that, you know, Toni Preckwinkle has not had a whole lot of scrutiny by the voters. And we're going to make sure, whomever runs, that there is a bright light shined on that record, and she's going to have to account for it.
Well, I think before you go into Medusa's cave, you have to start reading Joseph Campbell's Hero of a Thousand Faces and prepare yourself. Alderman, gird the loins, because one look from her and most people turn to stone. And John,
you know, if I do decide to run for that office, and I'm certainly leaning that way, I'm not afraid of confronting Medusa, as you know. I've been a warrior on the battlefield in politics for now 3 decades,
yes,
usually working for other elected officials, but now I'm an elected official myself. I'm never shied away from a challenge, and I'm certainly not intimidated by the party boss. This is going to be, you know, this is about ideas, really.
Yes.
And I would argue that most people believe that Tony's ideology has failed, and it's time to turn the page on that experiment and get back to the basics and the common sense approach to running government so that it works for the people who pay for it.
Cook County is a great place if you're living in Naples, Florida.
Yeah, well, I'd like to change that story around.
Yes.
So it's not so much that.
I hope so, too. I remember being in Naples, and so many people that I spoke to at the Illinois Naples Club, hundreds of them, they were like, they had no intention of coming back to Chicago except to visit the grandkids. And all that and all that. All those interesting people. And I think Governor Pritzker might have to bear some responsibility, but that's for another podcast.
Certainly. Wait, before we let you go, Alderman, I got to ask you, we kind of do like to focus on food every once in a while here. And since okay. you're, you know,
he's an Irishman. What he doesn't eat. Well,
so let's say here's the scenario. You got a break from city council. You got to grab a bite to eat downtown. What's your choice? What are you doing?
Oh, goodness, gosh, you know, there's so many options. And honestly, I don't really eat lunch very much anymore.
Sure. So it's a luxury. So, you know, it's going to be, you got to pick a good one.
Well, you know, I mean,
you got to send out for sandwiches. Where do you send?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, it's been a while since I've had an Italian beef, but if I got to have an Italian beef on the fly, I'm going to go hit Luke's in the Loop. They make a phenomenal Italian beef right there. And so when I have a chance, I'll run down there if I've got a few extra minutes and grab one of those. But, you know, I'm tripping over amazing restaurants, and I certainly am friends with most of them. I don't want to pick favorites here, guys.
Sure, I understand.
But we do have a Naff Naff Grill opening up across the street from City Hall in a few weeks, and I'm excited about that. That'll be an easy 1-minute walk to get some falafels.
Falafel, yeah, baby.
Yeah. And the Billy Goat's not that far away, John. I can always get over to Lower Michigan Avenue for a double or a triple cheeseburger.
I will have a double, but it would be with ice cubes. Thank you. So, Alderman, thank you for being here with us, and good luck to you. And if you do choose to run again, you have to use a mirror first. Use the mirror to approach her the right way so that you don't stare into her eyes.
I'll take that good advice. If that's the route we go, and again, I'm leaning very, very heavily in that direction. I promise you that when we enter the arena, we will be adequately prepared for the battle. I promise.
Excellent. Well, thanks for joining us.
Brendan, thanks for being here today.
It's great to be with you guys, and have a great rest of your summer. And we'll be in touch soon. We'll be in touch soon about some more political plans.
Sounds good.
With over three decades of serving up streetwise insight and local perspective on Page Two, the voice of John Cass has a home at johncassnews.com, a place where common sense is still served daily.
Listen up. Do you like being treated as a chumbalone, as a fool, sitting on a stool, smiling wanly at the sky?
Don't be a chumbalone and subscribe at johncassnews.com.
I'm John Cass, 40 years a newspaper man in Chicago. I won't name the place. It's just the paper now.
That's the Chicago way.
But I'm asking you to join me so you can get a decent cup of common sense, at least. You're not going to get it from the media. It's time that you join the frontier of independent journalism at johncassnews.com.
Don't get caught in the parade of chumbalones.
Traditional media, mainstream media like the paper, they're all in on it. They think you're stupid. You know what they think? They think you're a chumbalone.
Subscribe at johncassnews.com now for only $50 a year and become a member of the No Chumbalone Zone.
Well, I told you I can't stand loose ends, and they're dangerous. But you see how everything is circles, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cyclical.
Kim Fox, Tony Preckwinkle, the destruction of the city, the destruction of the county, people leaving. And now here's Brendan Riley.
Yeah.
Brendan Riley's thinking about running again. And I give him credit, because it's not going to be easy. And if you know Brendan Riley, the man that he will be portrayed as will bear no resemblance to the truth of who he is. Okay. I saw Paul Vallis, who's by himself, buried countless children in Chicago who were subject to gang violence and street violence. He paid for their funerals, and he was treated as if he was a
Klan member. A
Klan member, yeah. They portray, and as long as you have the media, and you know, I guess the Klomskys write columns in for the Chicago Sun-Times, and I don't know who the heck writes for the Tribune anymore. I don't even read it. Brendan Riley is going to have himself a task ahead.
Yeah, certainly. It's a long-term coming. You know, we've talked about this. I mentioned this, the idea of this, you know, the progressive Olympics has led us into this, like you said, you know, people hiding in the closet as moderates because they want to get along and they want to keep, you know, their position. And
They don't want to get trashed like John Cass was trashed, right?
Right, exactly. And, you know, and what's happened, you know, society and culture and our, you know, economy of the state and city have collapsed on themselves as a result. And hopefully he can make it apparent that a wholehearted change needs to come to the city. And I mentioned this earlier, and I kind of miffed the numbers a little bit, but I was talking about the layers of government in Illinois. You know, the number is about 7,000 local governments with Illinois. And if you break it down, that's where the top, you know, by far, you know, the next closest is Texas with total number of local governments at 5,147. We're 6,963. I mean, we've got, you know, almost 1,700 more local government pieces in a state that's not as big. And that number of the ideas, you know, per 100,000 residents, 54.27 units of government per 100,000. I mean, that's insane. That's, you know, every town, there's not how many 100,000 people towns are there in the city, in the state? Not that many, but we have 54 pieces of government for every subset of that. How is that possible? You know, how is a possibility that a town of 10,000 people has 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 pieces of government that control them from local to state to county? I mean, it's just, this is where our money is going. This is where the graft is happening. This is why streets get repaved 10 times in 2 years for no reason, or get dug up and repaved and dug up and repaved. But then the streets that need it aren't repaved. It's just, this is the stuff that every citizen needs to open their eyes to and say, hey, we have to change this, and we got to change it with guys like Brendan Riley, who want to change the whole system and reduce the bureaucracy that's strangling us, strangling our schools, strangling our transit system, strangling our judicial system. I mean, this is the answer. This is what we need to look at. And he's right. There are plenty of people like myself who consider themselves to be moderate Democrats who are just, you know, banging our head against the wall when we hear people talk about racism and all this. And yeah, that stuff exists. And yeah, we need to take steps to make sure everybody is treated fairly under the law and in society. But we can't just say, oh, let's just throw five more layers of government and that'll fix it, because it hasn't.
Yeah, don't let them put you on the back foot.
Right.
They want you on the back foot. That's the left. They want mm-hmm. you defensive. Same thing. The police are ineffective. The media can't handle it. They don't want to offend anyone.
Right.
And the people leave. And it's not fair to the beautiful people of Chicago and Cook County, the people that work hard, that love their communities.
No, it's not. Well, on that note.
Right. On that note, let's go have a beef sandwich from Luke's with Brendan Riley.
I'll meet him for some falafel. It's probably more my speed.
For Alderman Brendan Riley, a possible candidate for Cook County Board President. For Jeff Carlin, my friend and co-host here, and future teacher, future physics teacher, maker of pies, friend of cats. And for me, John Cass, of johncassnews.com, where $50 a year gets you a cup of common sense, good Midwestern common sense, and we're in desperate need of it. Join us again next time, won't you, on another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.